Okay, thank you, Mary Kay, and that leads us straight into your report today, part four of our series, Created in China.
It's been a while since China has come up with global game-changing innovations, like the compass or paper or gunpowder. The modern equivalents, like the light bulb, the telephone, the car, the plane, and the computer, have all come out of the West. That frustrates China's leaders. They've been pumping billions of dollars into research labs and science parks in the hope that China will once again start coming up with great inventions. But meanwhile, Chinese companies do understand an essential truth about innovation. You don't have to be the first person to come up with a eureka invention to make money. You need to be the one who figures out how to make that invention serve your market. An example, Starbucks didn't invent the espresso machine. But it did come up with the idea of serving espresso in a comfortable, connected environment. Here's another example. China's online gaming industry figured out how to make money in a market rife with piracy. The industry stopped relying on selling games on CD and instead made online users pay to play. Yet another innovation came out of a company called Dangdang, China's equivalent of Amazon.com. Chen Xiaotong is its vice president for marketing. He says Dangdang started 10 years ago when few Chinese had credit cards or trusted vendors unless they could see the product with their own eyes before they bought it. So the Amazon model of having customers pay online wasn't going to work. Instead, Dangdang introduced a cash-on-delivery service, and its business took off. Okay, so it's not rocket science. But tweaks like this have allowed Chinese imitations of eBay, Google, and Facebook to do better in China than the real things. Know your customer is a maxim China's private sector takes seriously, far more than the state sector does. So it's no surprise that much of the innovation that's happening now in China is happening in the private sector in general, and in the high-tech arena in particular. At this high-tech conference in Beijing called China ICT, startup entrepreneurs mingle with the venture capitalists who just might fund them. French internet entrepreneur Frank Nazikian started this annual conference. He believes China will one day be the world's new Silicon Valley. He says high-tech innovation in China is already taking off. Nazikian gives as an example a Chinese internet site called Kaixin 001. It lets users take care of their own virtual pets or plants, or they can play online games like Buy and Sell Your Friends or Parking Wars.
Kaixin 001 is the company which has grown the fastest in the history of the internet. At any time, they basically went from nothing to tens of millions of hits per day in a matter of a couple of months. So all these signs which happened in the past year and a half are now perceived by the West and are definitely the tip of the iceberg of this IT entrepreneurship revolution that is taking place in China right before our eyes.
But others aren't so sure. Chinese internet entrepreneur Jin Xiaofeng is one skeptic. She thinks it will take a long while for China to innovate the way Silicon Valley does.
I lived in the Valley for more than 10 years. I worked there, you know, like many years, big companies, startups. I think actually, you know, the whole environment here is still in the stage. I think it's really not one person's fault. It's the whole ecosystem. Everybody care about the short-term return on investment. Not many people are looking into the long term, and there's no resource to support it. So everyone is going after like a quick money, and so the quality is not there, and you know, the innovation is really not there yet.
That's because breakthrough innovation takes time and money for research and development. Why would a rational actor in today's China do that when the incentives are to make a quick buck?
Hello, do you want my shoes? You need to buy bags.
The sales clerks at this shopping center embody the spirit of today's Chinese economy. They're grabbing customers by the arm and pulling them in with deals they can't refuse. Arthur Prober is the editor of the China Economic Quarterly. He says many Chinese entrepreneurs excel at something called cost innovation.
You know, basically what China does for the world is they say, we'll take any product that's out there, and we'll make it for maybe 85% of the quality, but 50% of the cost. So if you don't need that last 15% of the quality, if 85% is good enough for you, which it is for a lot of consumers, we won't give you 85% of the quality for 85% of the cost. We'll give you 85% of the quality for 50% of the cost.
Internet entrepreneur Jin Xiaofang's company, Linkcool, has chosen a different route. It aims to be a smarter, self-learning search engine that can out-Google Google. Jin says when she launched the company 4 years ago, she followed the money too, and Linkcool was soon getting 200 million page views a day. But Jean decided that just following the money was getting in the way of perfecting her product.
Initially, I built an advertising platform based on the technology. But what I realized is once you get into really like a commercial angle, at least right now in China, technology doesn't really matter that much. It's all about like a cash flow business. You buy media and then you kind of try to resell it to the advertiser. And then once you have that kind of pressure, and you start to really like focus on the revenue instead of user experience, and then it becomes really intrusive.
So Jean took away the link to the advertising platform and started over. She admits with a chuckle that that probably makes her more of an idealist than a businesswoman. But she works late into the evening trying to improve her search engine. She figures it will be worth it if she can come up with something better that catches on globally. Jin Xiaofang is part of a phenomenon that's infusing China with new innovative energy. She's one of many Chinese who have worked or studied abroad and have returned home to apply what they've learned. At the same time, foreign companies have opened more than 1,200 research and development centers in China. Still other companies have merged Chinese and foreign know-how.
Lenovo has recently opened a new chapter with its acquisition of the IBM Global PC business.
Weiwei Dong was at Lenovo 5 years ago when it acquired IBM's Global PC division. He says some of Lenovo's engineers have told him over beers since then that they were nervous at the time about how this would all work out. Wei is now Lenovo's vice president of product chain management, and he says those anxieties are long gone. The mixing of different cultures has helped Lenovo.
We learn lots from the global process, the people, and the culture. I think this 4 to 5 years is give me improvement lots. So I really enjoy this process. And I think that this such kind of experience is very helpful for the China companies. Most of China companies have not such kind of experience to work with global team and to build up a strong team and to leading industry.
Lenovo's Jamie Rutledge came to the merger from the U.S. side. He had been Lenovo's youngest master inventor. He's still just in his early 30s. He's now Lenovo's director of strategy for research and technology, and he's just finished up 2 years working with the team in Beijing on next-generation technologies. He says the China team's greatest strength is its ability to execute a plan fast and well. He says Lenovo's other two R&D centers also have their strengths. In Japan, it's perfecting high-tech precision, while at the Raleigh, North Carolina Center, it's coming up with radically new ideas. But he says no one place has a corner on innovation.
I will say innovation and creative novel thinking is something that's rare in most people anyway. I mean, you may have 1 in 10 people that have a novel idea every 10 years, and then you may have 1 in 200 people that have 3 to 5. And if you looked at that, you might even say China has the ability, you know, in the future, especially as more and more people become highly educated, to have a larger innovation pool just by sheer volume.
However, Rutledge says, that depends on whether companies in China take the time to identify and encourage the innovators.
I manage a team in the Beijing office, and that team is 25, 30 people, and you identify one or two. And what you do is you take those two guys and you bring them in and you mentor them. You bring them in and you sit on a whiteboard and you just talk about creative, whacked out ideas that would never happen anywhere else, right? And then suddenly they start thinking a little bit more. So that skill set, what you do is you nurture it.
China could probably use more of that spirit. The norm is still to take the proven road to profits by copying rather than risking something new. And ideas are usually dictated from the top down, not allowed to percolate from the bottom up. But another norm in China during these past 30 years of economic reform is that nothing stays the norm for long. Young Chinese may not be getting their creativity nurtured at school or even at work, but it's coming out anyway, in music, in fashion, in the arts, and online. More than their parents or many generations before them, they're coming of age in a peaceful, prosperous time. They're soaking in ideas and influences from around the world. And as they come of age, the best and the brightest seem to be gravitating toward the private sector. There, with the right encouragement, they may yet launch a new era of innovation in China. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
Tomorrow, Mary Kay Magstad reports on whether China's Communist Party can continue to deliver economic growth and still maintain tight political control.
And if the party can't deliver as a result of its own attempts to control, then I think there are many in the party who realize that it's game up.
That's tomorrow, right here on The World.